For as long as I can remember, I have been one of those people who waits and watches all the credits at the end of a movie. Those of you here who do the same, you understand that a lot of people work very hard to bring a picture to the big screen. The list of names scrolls on and on before the last few emblems and disclaimers get shown and the house lights come up. It takes quite a while to get to the very end. If I am alone, it often means that I am the last person to leave the theater. A couple of weeks ago, at a showing of the critically acclaimed film Just Mercy, though, I was surprised to find an African-American couple still there with me. One of them, an older man, came up to me to say that he had seen me darting across the street to get there. He wanted to tell me to be more careful in this neighborhood, because that was a busy intersection and I had crossed at a dangerous spot. He asked me to try and stay safe. It was a remarkably kind gesture on his part toward a white woman like me, and the counsel he gave me was sound. I jaywalk more often than I ought to and for too long now. He was being a good neighbor to me, even though we had never met before that evening. I went to the late showing because I was going to be out of town for the UU Wellesley Hills All Ages Movie Night, when others of you here would be watching Just Mercy together. Several of you are already familiar with the story because you've read the original book written by Bryan Stevenson, the African-American activist and attorney who founded the Equal Justice Initiative. His memoir was a UUA common read a few years ago. And a couple of years later, Stevenson gave a powerful speech delivering the Ware Lecture at our Unitarian Universalist General Assembly in 2017. In that address, Stevenson told an overwhelmingly white audience that there were a few essential things that we UUs could do to advance justice in this country. We could, to borrow his phrase, get proximate to the poor and become better acquainted with the plight of the marginalized in America today. We could challenge the dominant cultural narrative that upholds systemic racism and structural inequality. We could remain hopeful about creating a more equitable and humane justice system. And we could become willing to confront uncomfortable and disturbing truths about our national reality. He got a standing ovation from those assembled. Unlike most other Ware lecturers, though, Stevenson did not call those in the crowd UUs, or even Unitarians for short. He called us Universalists, which ideally we are. He named a precious theological legacy of ours. It is sometimes said that our Unitarian forebears remind us of the singular human origin we all share, while our Universalist forebears remind us of the common destiny that unites all humanity. As a committed Christian as well as a civil rights advocate, Stevenson communicated a clear sense of how those historic religious beliefs might inform our present worldview and faith commitments. Hope is the thing that will make you stand up when others say to sit down, he told the 2017 UUA Assembly. But what cause are we given for hope today? As UUs, we recognize that the living tradition we share draws from many sources, but six especially noteworthy ones. This year, I am preaching a sermon on each of them. The fourth of our six spiritual sources includes Jewish and Christian teachings which call us to respond to God's love by loving our neighbors as ourselves. These teachings enrich and ennoble our faith, inspiring us to expand our vision of the possibilities for beloved community. Being raised in the Black church tradition, Stevenson took such teachings to heart at an early age and wondered who we Americans counted as our neighbors and what sort of love we owed them. The epigraph for his book, Just Mercy, is taken from the Protestant theologian Reinhold Niebuhr. Love is the motive, Niebuhr declares, but justice is the instrument. Stevenson intuits that justice denied is much the same as love denied. Our tragic history has made it evident that white Americans frequently fail to recognize Black Americans as their neighbors, let alone as fellow citizens entitled to full rights. According to Stevenson, the heaviest burden imposed by centuries of slavery in this country was the pernicious myth of racial difference, white superiority and Black inferiority that legitimated the horrific treatment of slaves on these shores. Present-day mass incarceration and excessive punishment of people of color represent just another form of American slavery. Blessed are the merciful, the Beatitudes tell us. They will find mercy. Stevenson first published Just Mercy in 2014, the same year that saw the Black Lives Matter movement grow as media reports came in about the killing of a number of unarmed African Americans nationwide, among them Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri, young Tamara Rice in Cleveland, Ohio, and Eric Gardner in New York City. The death of Eric Gardner made a profound impression on me at the time because my husband and I were living in the city then, and a member of our police force had strangled a fellow New Yorker, one of us, purportedly for the crime of selling single cigarettes from an unstamped pack. It was unthinkable to both Ben and I at the time, horrifying in an immediate and yes, proximate way that implicated us in his strangulation. Gardner could not breathe. He was crushed on a city sidewalk by the weight of that police officer. What I am ashamed to admit is that Eric Gardner's death, I say his name, it's important to say every one of these victims' names, that his tragic killing was the very first time that I in my whiteness fully understood that my neighbors were dying in unconscionable ways, right before all our eyes. As New Yorkers, we had to be sickened, ashamed, furious, appalled, and we had to pay closer attention. Our neighbors deserve, at bare minimum, our attention. They more rightfully deserve something like the love that Jewish and Christian scriptures command. One thing is that a lot of us really deprive ourselves of opportunities for incomparable joy and extraordinary spiritual affirmation and meaning when we shield ourselves from engaging people who are in crisis, suffering, sick, in prison, Stevenson told one interviewer, adding that if those of us who are more fortunate can just get proximate to people who are struggling and bear witness to their struggle and assist them, there is this extraordinary redemptive experience. Not because we are redeemers, mind you, but because we ourselves will finally recognize how badly we needed to be redeemed. Today in America, we have unprecedented rates of incarceration and a massive prison industrial complex that profits mightily from the sentencing and jailing of millions of people. We have approximately 2.3 million inmates in our country now, and nearly 6 million people on probation or out on parole, with minorities disproportionately represented in both those figures. Stevenson estimates that one in every three Black males born in the 21st century is expected to be incarcerated. A third of all African American men. Those people behind bars, every last one of them is our neighbor. Their lives matter, their treatment matters, their plight matters, even if they are sitting on death row. Speaking with his interviewer, Stevenson underscored the need to have people of faith thinking about how to love, how to restore, how to serve, and how to respond to the suffering around these United States. In his decades practicing as a public interest lawyer, Stevenson had won cases relieving excessive sentencing, exonerating prisoners on death row, mitigating the myriad abuses of mentally ill prisoners, challenging the criminalization of poor women, and remedying the severe penalties placed upon American youths prosecuted as adults. He has also argued landmark cases before the U.S. Supreme Court. Last month, UU Wellesley Hills took up a plate collection for his Equal Justice Initiative, which he still heads in Montgomery, Alabama. In Just Mercy, Stevenson writes, "The true measure of our character is how we treat the poor, the disfavored, the accused, the incarcerated, and the condemned. We have to start calling ourselves to account for that, because as a country, we have been merciless." Looking at the widespread use of capital punishment in the South, Stevenson sees the specter of lynching. After their defeat in the Civil War, slaveholding states became places where tactics of racial terrorism asserting white supremacy were commonly and publicly practiced, where formerly enslaved African Americans were considered dangerous and presumed guilty of every conceivable crime and several imaginary ones, too. White citizens needed the fiercest protections from black citizens, popular logic held, though more often the exact opposite was true. With the outlawing of lynch mobs, southern states devised criminal justice systems that guaranteed the swift and summary execution of African American suspects in their custody, whether they were innocent or not. The first time he met a death row inmate, Stevenson was simply notifying Henry that no state-sponsored execution was planned for him in the coming year. Stevenson was surprised by how happy the news made the young man, who was the exact age Stevenson was as a law student at Harvard. When the prison guard came to suddenly and roughly remove Henry, he started to sing an old hymn. It was familiar to Stevenson from his upbringing in the African Methodist Episcopal Church. "New heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound," Henry sang. "Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground." Those lyrics echo a sentiment often lifted up in hymns within the black church traditions, where believers were maligned, despised, suspected, and dehumanized, too often by those in the dominant white culture. The hymns sounded a holy notion that regardless of how the worst of their neighbors treated them, believers were beloved by a gracious God who yearned for them to have and know more goodness in life. God loved them so much better than their neighbors did, and that in and of itself became a saving message. Like the old Negro spirituals, these hymns promised rejoicing and redemption at the last. Hearing Henry sing those words made a deep impression upon Stevenson. Proximity to the condemned and incarcerated made the question of each person's humanity more urgent and meaningful, including my own, he writes in Just Mercy. Stevenson observed that simply punishing the broken, walking away from them or hiding them from sight, only ensures that they remain broken and we do too. There is no wholeness outside of our reciprocal humanity. He concludes, we are all broken by something. We have all hurt someone and have been hurt. We all share the conditions of brokenness, even if our brokenness is not equivalent. The remedy that Stevenson sees for the horrible conditions in incarcerated America are partly legal, but primarily spiritual. We need more hope, he reminds us. We need more mercy, and we need more justice. When I went as a seminarian to my first meeting with a UUA Ministerial Fellowship Committee, there was only one person of color in the room. She was an older African-American woman, a lay leader from the UU Church of the Restoration in Philadelphia, where she had played the organ for years. The church organist was, for some unknown reason, plainly my biggest fan there. After our meeting, she told me confidentially, "I could tell you were a universalist when you walked in the room." To this day, that has been the highest compliment I've received from a fellow UU and my favorite commissioning ever. Be a universalist every minute of every hour of every day. Those in the Black church traditions prize both the theological and sociologic dimensions of the universalist legacy. I sincerely doubt that Stevenson was misspeaking when he delivered his 2017 Ware lecture. I think he was commissioning all the UUs in that assembly to honor our living tradition, tap our deepest spiritual sources, and live like actual universalists who believe that restoration, redemption, and reconciliation are possibilities for all of us and for all our neighbors too, now and increasingly in the days to come. Because as he writes in Just Mercy, even as we are caught in a web of hurt and brokenness, we're also caught in a web of healing and mercy. We are each of us essentially and necessarily connected. Any attempt to cut our connection diminishes us all. Each February, there is an inherent tension in celebrating President's Day, which was originally pegged to George Washington's birthday, and Black History Month together. Like 11 other presidents after him, Washington was a slaveholder. He held slaves even while he served as U.S. president. Black history is an important frame for that national holiday because it reminds us that there is not truly any American history apart from African American history. Recently, Stevenson oversaw the opening of the Legacy Museum in his hometown of Montgomery. And there, he carefully traces the progression of centuries of Black enslavement into our current state of mass incarceration. In the acknowledgments he includes at the back of Just Mercy, Stevenson thanks all the incarcerated women and children and men who taught him painful and incontrovertible truths about their country, his country, my country, and yours. He urges each of us to get involved with our poor neighbors in prison. At a local congregation, at a local UU congregation in March, I will be attending a weekend workshop offered by the Worthy Now Prison Ministry, the Church of the Larger Fellowship, which serves about 1,000 inmates now. I hope that several of you here will consider joining me in that outreach program next month. We must make conscious efforts to redress racial disparities in our criminal justice system in America, to recognize that felons are made, not born, and that rehabilitation and reintegration always need to remain options, not just for their sake, but for ours, not merely by virtue of their humanity, but by the sacred requirement of ours. At the Capitol Theater in Arlington during our post-credits conversation, the older African-American man was still being incredibly kind and generous with me. He was making provisions for my jaywalking offense, offering up the nicest possible excuses. It was late in the evening, he told me, and Just Mercy was an important movie that I clearly needed to see that night. I was nodding along slowly as he spoke, acknowledging my guilt as much as my innocence. Besides, he added, the message of this film was precious. So precious, I exclaimed in agreement. We smiled at each other broadly, warmly, and by some miracle he seemed to absolve me of my recent transgression. Suddenly, we were just neighbors who met in our local theater. Two children of the same good and gracious God, kin in spirit, claimants on the same divine birthright, now grown into mature and sometimes responsible adults, who in an instant, by an amazing accident, I suppose, and the unlikely gift of proximity, became neighbors. Just neighbors.